Good morning, everybody. As you guys normally know, we start each episode with an anchor ad read. Start it off right, get you guys in the right state of mind, get the week ahead off on the right note. But this time, for the second time, we're going to do it a little bit different. For the second time, we're bringing the fiance, my fiance, Emily, on to read the ad. I was told not to make it a dumb intro. She's shaking her head feverishly, saying, giving me the message that this is, in fact, a dumb intro. So I feel like mission accomplished here. So without further ado, Emily, why don't you hit us with the ad read? Ben, we got a big show today.
Big show. Big. I'm only a part of like half of.
Yeah, Ben, you ditched me for probably our biggest guest to date.
They're all right. I mean,
the weirdest guest to date.
Oh, there we go.
There it is. Yeah, we got old man Larry, writer, esteemed writer.
Assuming that he can figure out the Zoom call.
So we have not, as saying this per now, we have not recorded the Zoom yet.
Yeah. So assuming he can figure out how Zoom works.
Larry will in fact be on the podcast.
Yes.
We also have what is, one of my favorite hires that we've made, because just the overall like nerddom and creativity this dude brings to the table is unmatched by anybody I've known.
It is. How many movies did he say he had when we interviewed him?
1,200 movies.
Yeah.
That's Mike McMahon, esteemed writer for The Broken Anchor.
Insane.
Oh, dude. He got introduced to us by Andy Pick as
I think every person we've hired for like the last, like, you know, 20 people has been because Andy knows somebody.
When we become a company, Andy's going to be our HR rep. That's the whole idea. But yeah, so Andy introduced us to Mike as like, this dude is the movie encyclopedia that he knows everything about movies and stuff. So yeah, I'm excited to talk to them alone. I'm going to be talking to them alone without the services of one Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Sad.
My bad.
But no, we'll get into some fun things. We got some good would you rathers talk through. We got some sports news that I didn't really love talking about, but I you know, there was a football game that I maybe happened or didn't happen this week.
It is what it is.
Talk about. And yeah, other than that, great episode. SNL pranks that we need to get into. Weird rabbit hole there, but yeah, great episode coming up. So without further ado, let's get into the best week of all time.
Woo!
All right, coming on to the show now. I'm alone. First of all, I'm alone. Ben ditched us, so I'm doing this by myself, alone, out of the cold. So we'll see how this goes, but it is two of our esteemed writers here at the Broken Anchor. It is old man Larry. Old man Larry is on the pod, and it is Mike McMahon on the pod right now. Guys, this is your guys' first episode. This is both your guys' first episode on our podcast.
On BA. Yep.
Right. And then Larry, you were on RBP once, I think, right?
I was, yes. Like my first week intro / let's torture cap with talk about baseball.
Yeah. Well, boys, I'm happy you guys are on the show. I'm thankful you're on the show. Mike, I love that you're on the show. I'm so happy you're here. I'm specifically thankful that Larry is on the show, because we're taping this episode at a very specific time, because I don't know if you guys watched any television today, or I don't know. plugged into the news at all. But Mike, did you happen to see the college football playoff rankings that came out?
I did. And as soon as after the 4-seed was announced, a certain colleague of ours was not too happy.
He wasn't thrilled, I would go out.
Not too happy one bit.
Way.
Well, another colleague of ours was ecstatic.
Oh.
Well, several others, but some are more vocal than others.
Yeah.
So
I should say there's a very big, there's a contingent. Notre Dame is very polarizing within BA, I think. Like there's, it's kind of half and half of people who care. Well, there's also like the group of people who like are like
who just really don't who don't football. Say anything like it doesn't yeah. matter. But like, within those Cass. Of us who care, that, yeah,
poor,
I know.
Poor Cass, poor Morgan, poor Hunter to an extent.
Mahir.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough scene for them. For us, however.
It's very fun.
Great conversation. Yeah.
It's very entertaining. It's also very Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have everyone who cares about college football has an opinion about Notre Dame.
Yeah. You either got to love Notre Dame or hate Notre Dame. Yeah.
That is the Midwest in a nutshell.
Yeah. I do feel like, too, like, I think it's gotten a little bit far away from that, but, like, it seems like if you're in the Midwest and you're Catholic, like, you're practicing Catholic, it feels like you kind of have to like Notre Dame.
Well, no, because and I'll counterpoint in Chicago because there's a million Irish Catholics in Chicago, so you're still split one way or the other,
right?
Which is how you wind up being like me, and on the other. And I had a lot of friends who were also on the other.
Right.
I guess I should, before we get into the playoff, I should probably talk about why the Notre Dame hate.
That was my first question, is what did we do to you? Because there have been multiple Notre Dame stinks blogs that have come out.
No, it was just
Mike,
one.
I know you've read them. This is crazy.
It's only been one so far.
How can you hate Notre Dame?
I've only written one blog. Rudy's the fakest tough guy in the world. That movie sucks. Rudy's a fake tough guy. Rudy is a little bit of a front. Rudy's nephew could ball.
Yeah.
Dude was he went to Rudy's alma mater, which was in our conference. For football. And that dude was really good.
I do have to say,
Rudy could ball too.
Rudy the movie, just the movie, is a great movie.
No, strongly disagree.
Just the movie, like just take the movie itself.
It cannot be taken out of context.
If you take it out of, like,
I can't.
You just put the movie, Larry. You but can't sit like saying, and watch that movie and not feel like you want to run through a brick wall after you.
But that's like saying you can't take Hoosiers out of context and then say that Indiana isn't the greatest basketball state in the country.
That's very clearly Ohio.
And it's not. Like, I had three roommates from Indiana freshman year. I tried this argument, and it, you can't. Indiana is the – yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're 5 to 10 minutes into this, and Larry has trashed the entire state of Indiana, all of Notre Dame.
No, I've done quite the opposite. Indiana, you're the one trashing Indiana.
Oh, okay. All right. So like, what is the Notre Dame hate all about?
Yeah, so as I've sort of made mention of, so like, I'm an Illinois fan.
Yes.
Sadly, yes. I've talked about ILL. That.
But
also paper bag and all of that. Yeah. But when my dad went there in the late 70s, they were actually, like, good in football.
Notre Dame.
They were good in – well, Illinois was good in
Sorry
the late
70s.
That.
Sorry about
no,
that.
As you point to your senior
shirt. Yes, it's – it is an assumed thing that Notre Dame is typically good. So that's one. I concede that. But so my dad went to Illinois, and at the time it was like they were fighting for all the same kids because it was the major Catholic school outside of Chicago and then the major public school that would recruit Chicago. Okay. So there was that. And then so it started with him going to Illinois and not liking Notre Dame and whatever.
Yep.
But then it gets to everybody in Chicago has an opinion about Notre Dame. More than just if you care in the rest of the country, it's like if you're in Chicago, you care about Notre Dame one way mm-hmm. or the other.
Yep.
So I knew a lot of people who really loved Notre Dame. And as I've already kind of mentioned, I like to antagonize. So that was a good combination off of what I was taught as a little kid, was to not like them. It got bigger as I'm like, well, now I can just kind of hold it over other people.
So, Mike, I don't know if you know this. When we brought Larry on, so Larry applied as a guy who wanted to write, like, oh, you know, I'm a big Cubs fan. I'll write a lot of baseball stuff. Kind of a happy guy, all this kind of stuff, like old man attitude.
Larry,
like,
I thought better of you. Now you're a Cubs fan?
Yeah.
Oh, I went into this with Andy and Cap, and it's – I'm sorry.
No, you came like, in.
I know Cubs fans are assholes. Like, that was my big comment on there, and I stand by it. Like, they are. And right. They got really entitled really quickly. And
Cubs
I
fans are best. The Midwestern Yankees fans.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And I did my best to distance myself from that as much as possible.
23 less championships.
As quickly as I could.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to separate that a lot right away.
Right.
Because I don't like Cubs fans.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So you had – okay, so let's circle back to the Notre Dame part. So you had – and you had like a semi-negative opinion of Notre Dame, kind of negative. And then you like grew up around Chicago people. So then you like that opinion like escalated. So that's what I'm gathering.
It builds on itself. And that was even happening in middle school.
So what is it, if you could name like your top like three things that you just absolutely
can't stand? Well, the arrogance is the biggest. Far and away, the arrogance. I laid this out in the blog. I love that blog. The fact that it's always the us against the world. Nobody likes this. Why don't we get any respect?
You always get everyone's best game at Notre Dame.
Always
get everyone's best game.
Exactly.
You come to Notre Dame Stadium, that's the biggest game.
Because Notre Dame is everybody's biggest rival.
Everybody knows that.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, they're clearly Michigan's biggest rival. Definitely. Really? No question. No question.
Yeah. Who cares? Who cares about who cares about a team named after Nets?
At this point, it is Michigan. Michigan and Ohio State isn't a rivalry anymore.
Well,
it's just a slot.
That's the same thing as Xavier and Cincinnati, or Louisville and Kentucky.
Fair point.
Yeah.
More specifically, Louisville and Kentucky is not a rivalry anymore. At basketball, that's a hot take.
That is quite a hot take. Kentucky's bad this year.
This year it should be a game. The all-time numbers, the all-time numbers are like 42-17 in favor of Kentucky. It's absurd.
I'm actually surprised they've only played. Have they only played?
Did you say Kentucky's bad?
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah,
I would say Kentucky's bad is just they're very inexperienced, and they've been facing teams that are.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about that the last time. The last time Andy and Cap came on was we were like, yeah, Kentucky's never good until the new year starts because all their players are like 8 years old and then they leave after the year's end. So like they've never played together before. So
So some of their teams can make that work because some are just like uber talented. And this one has talent, but the pieces don't fit.
Right. Right.
Last year when Kentucky lost to Evansville, it's like, yeah, Kentucky has all freshmen. Evansville has had a team that's played together for years. So, I mean, yes, obviously Kentucky has way more talent, but they have – because it's like the second or third game of the year.
Yeah.
They don't know how to play together yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and this year, Kentucky has had a tough out-of-conference schedule this year.
You got to take that.
I don't even remember last time it was ever this tough.
Listen, it's not Oklahoma and Cincinnati, but it's something, you know, they're doing something over there. It's cute. What they're doing.
So here's your number on the series. Kentucky currently leads 37-16.
I'm surprised they've only played 53 times.
Yeah, actually. I know. It's a little kind of weird. But yeah, so it's pretty lopsided.
So Larry came in as Cubs, can do a little other stuff too once the Cubs ends, because you know that's when we were bringing on, like, most people we were bringing on were very like sports centric, and so we were like, what sports and was the big thing and all that kind of stuff. So we talked to Larry about that. Larry was actually in the same you were in the same, I don't want to say class, like we interviewed you and brought you on at the same time as Cass. So
yep, right.
So
that's elite company right there, Larry.
I know. She's had some really good blogs. I've enjoyed them.
Oh, for sure.
And they're definitely different too, which is good.
She's got some interesting stuff coming up too. Gotta say that. So Larry came in, got his foot in the door there, and then started just trashing Notre Dame all over the place, all day, every day. So that was great. And then Andy Pick, host a Roll Blob podcast. Some would say the fastest sports podcast in the world right now, fastest growing sports podcast in the world. Some would say that. Andy reached out to me and goes, "Hey, I have a guy for you who might be the movie encyclopedia of the world. This guy knows everything possible about movies. Everything you need to know about this, he's got all the info." It's like, great, have him send in an app, and he did. And the interview with Mike McMahon, where you, Mike, you mentioned that you own how many movies?
Over 1,200 physical copies. Physical over 1,200.
Okay, how does one accumulate that many movies in a lifetime? And two, have you seen all of those movies?
I'll answer the second one first because it's easier.
Right.
Half price books, because they can go for like $5 a pop. And then eBay, because they can go pretty cheap there.
Yeah. Yeah. eBay's a good move. If you were to name your top three movies of all time, what would those movies be?
Oh, goodness.
Outside, Rudy out of it. So Rudy cannot be.
Damn. Okay, well, there goes that one.
Yeah.
My top one, I'd say favorite all time, hands down, is Episode 4 of Star Wars. Hands down.
Episode 4?
I can watch that. New Hope. It's called Episode 4.
I know what it is. Come on.
It's the original. So if you're really a big Star Wars guy, and I'm not, but my dad is and my brother is.
Right.
And everyone swears by A New Hope.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody that I know who's like a big Star Wars fan is like, Empire Strikes Back is the movie.
Well, yeah, Empire Strikes Back, easily, in my opinion, the best Star Wars movie ever made. But my favorite would have to be A New Hope, just because it's
okay.
The original. I can watch that all the time. Empire can sometimes drag a little, especially late at night. But Episode 4, I can watch that every single day of the year.
Empire Strikes Back, there's a lot going on that you have to really pay attention to. Like, you can't just mindlessly watch The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Yeah. It's okay. That's fair. Okay, so New Hope is number one.
See, second one that's not in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
My second one, now this layer doesn't make sense, my argument that I just had. My second one would be Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2.
It's a good one. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Now, are you in the book? Are you in the – so there are two camps with Harry Potter fans, okay? And by the way, I'm one of them. Huge Harry Potter guy. Ravenclaw house, stand up. What's up?
Hufflepuff.
Oh, boy. Common man.
You two brought this up, and I've never done one of those tests, and I always thought that I was Gryffindor, but I become you're convinced that I'm. Oh, I absolutely am.
You're absolutely Slytherin.
Convinced myself of that a few months ago when I finally just embraced, like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Andy says he's a Gryffindor, but I think he's just a casual because he hasn't taken the test. But that's just
me. Right. So are you in the camp with the movies of they're not even close to the books, like don't even touch the books, they're not, like that's the Bible, don't touch that. And then there are people who are like, no, the movies are good, like they're not the books, but like you can't just disrespect the movies like this.
I'm in that second one because the reason that Hallows Part 2 is the best for me because they have most of it is actually straight from the book and it's perfect. It ends everything together, follows everything through, which I didn't think they would do because yes, there's a lot of stuff taken out of the books. Let me phrase that. It's a lot of stuff that's not in the movies that are in the books.
Right.
Which is like, okay, I can see why they did it. But my biggest thing is like Peeves is so big in all of the books, nowhere in the movie. Which
that's makes sense. That might be my biggest problem with the movies is Peeves is he doesn't affect any like plot lines mostly ever, but
right.
It's Peeves. You can't just not put Peeves in the movie. He's like a professional dick. Right. That's what he does. You can't just leave that. But yeah. Go ahead.
When they originally announced they were going to split up the last book into two, I was very mixed. But then the first one was okay. You can definitely tell it was going to end in the second movie. So it's like, okay. It ended with Dobby dying. It's like, okay, that was, I mean, I did tear up at that. That was pretty emotional. I saw that like week one in the movie theater.
That was sad.
Then I saw Hallows Part 2 at midnight. Oh. In 2011, so I was junior high school, midnight showing.
Yep.
And that ending scene 19 years later at King's Cross. Perfect.
The whole midnight movie thing. Larry, have you ever gone to a movie, like a movie premiere at like,
a premiere? I have not, no.
Oof, dude.
Which is, I know that's probably shocking coming from me, too. I'm just like not, I don't know. That there's. Like, I haven't seen a new movie, period, I don't think, since, like, 2014 or 15.
What was the new movie?
I don't even remember anymore.
Iron Man
3. I know that wasn't the last one. One of the last was Les Mis, which I hated.
That's such a long movie.
I know, it was awful.
I love musicals, and I'm very mixed on that movie.
Yeah.
I'm very mixed.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't remember.
We're not even going to get it. That was the worst movie I've ever seen. Made no sense. Cats made no sense. Like, what are we doing? I was never really like show up at midnight and go to the movies. I'll do like the first weekend, but I was never like that until so. Dom, who's like old podcast hosts, you know, everybody knows Dom. Dom, me, and my little brother Mike went to go see Endgame at, great name. We went to go see Avengers Endgame at 11 o'clock on, like, Dom and I both had like finals the next day. Like, we should not have been out watching a 3-hour movie starting at 11. It was like half an hour drive from where we were. We had to get tickets like a month in advance because it was Endgame and everything. It was like watching, it was like going to a game, like a basketball game or something. Like people were like yelling and screaming and stuff. And I come from a world where you're not supposed to talk in a movie theater. So like I was like, well, what is like what's happening? Like this is crazy. But I like Endgame was nuts. That's the first like midnight premiere that I've been to. And I don't know how many more premieres there are gonna be, like, cause movie theaters might just be dead, but like that was nuts.
Absolutely. God, that was such a good movie too.
Yeah, Avengers Endgame was. I'm a big
best fan service ever.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, Larry.
Sorry,
Larry. We should just sit Larry down and just have him watch Endgame, and then just have him guess, because it is the movie that if you haven't seen any other Marvel movies, or like any in a long time, you have no idea of what's going on.
Right. So yeah. I gathered as much because I'd always see, you know, people tweeting about all of them, and I'm just like, sorry. This doesn't sound interesting. What the hell happened?
Right.
Was like what Endgame became.
Oh, dude.
It was like, oh my God, there's so many different things and none of them make any sense.
Oh, man. Oh, it's crazy.
Says the guy whose last movie was Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Larry, you got to get into the Marvel. You got to get into the Marvel world.
I feel like I'm too late at this point. I missed the boat.
No, you're not. There's
Larry, Disney Plus exists, Larry. You can be back in a weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out. Sorry. Deuces.
Wait, Larry, you have no interest in seeing Shang-Chi in The Legend of the Ten Rings?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. Nobody knows what it means.
Yeah.
I have no idea either, but I'm still gonna see it.
Oh yeah. Okay. So what? We gotta get Larry into Marvel. We gotta get Larry into Marvel, and we need to finish debunking Rudy, because I was on board with the Rudy gang, with the Rudy movie, until I heard what Joe Montana had to say about it. Larry, have you seen this?
No.
So
doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah. So Joe Montana was there right after Rudy.
Yeah.
So he knew a lot of people who were still at Notre Dame then. And basically what he had to say about it was like, he worked hard. He's great. Whatever. People carried him off the field as like a joke.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. And so
I have heard that.
So when they found out that he was the first dude the first person they'd ever carried off the field at Notre Dame Stadium, they're like, maybe shouldn't have done that. But so that was
Yeah, he wasn't actually well liked.
Right. There was also the like the laying down of the jerseys scene.
Yeah. Just never. Gonna bring that up. Yeah. Never happened.
Never happened. Yeah.
Well, so the biggest thing that my dad pushes back on that movie is that Dan Devine like didn't have to be convinced to let him in the game. Like it wasn't a thing.
Yeah. They were 24-3. Yeah. With like a minute left.
Yeah.
So they're not going to lose the football game.
Maybe just needed a villain. This needed a villain. So they made Devine the villain.
There you go. Oh boy. All right, guys. Well, that is all I have for you. But I appreciate you coming on. I hope this is not the last time you guys come on. I hope next time Ben is on. We should also, because Ben's not on the podcast. Doesn't Ben just kind of stink, guys? Ben's just kind of like the worst person. It's like the worst.
Well, see, Ben was the first person who made it okay for me to bring up the anti-Notre Dame stuff. So I kind of have to give him credit for that, because before he said anything, I was like, I got pushback. I guess I got to stop. Because I wasn't going to take out everybody by myself.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Ben.
I'll say he stinks until his putt game gets better.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't hit a putt yet in this new thing of Ben's holes. But, well, boys, I appreciate you coming on. And keep killing it on the blogs. You guys have been awesome. I'm really happy with what you guys are doing. So, keep it rolling.
You got it, Fierce Leader.
I will do my best to keep feeding the beast that is the old man.
Yeah. Welcome to the Broken Anchor Podcast. What's up? Monday, December 21st.
Damn, I tried to throw you off.
And some sports happened this past weekend. I don't feel like we need to get really into it that much.
I think we really need to get into it.
It's just pain, man. It's just overall pain.
I saw your tweets, and you're like, oh, all we need is one stop. And then you're like, we got the one stop, then we're going to get a touchdown. And you guys didn't get the touchdown. I mean,
so we're, of course, talking about Notre Dame and the ACC championship game and what the hell happened on Saturday. And Notre Dame got blown out. They got blown out. The final score was 34-10. It was not that close.
No, it was not.
I mean, it was a shit pumping of, to which I have not seen happen to Notre Dame since the last time they were in the playoff against who else but bring your own guts Dabo. And it was just one of those things, because at halftime, that's when I put out all those tweets of like, hey, you know, like we just need one thing to turn around. Like something can, like momentum is everything. Like one stop at a touchdown and it's 24-10. We're right back in this thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is just too, I don't think you guys would have won the first game on it. Now, after seeing Trevor Lawrence play against you guys would not have won that first game if Trevor Lawrence was playing.
I think we do. I think we still win that first game. I think Dabo is a better coach than Brian Kelly, because then the trick
also
is,
can we talk about Brian Kelly saying they're not going to accept the invitation to the Rose Bowl or whatever if there can't be fans?
Well, listen. Now that might not even be a question. We'll get into that in a second. So let's just finish talking about the game first, and then we'll talk about. Oh my God, it was just painful. It was just overall just painful, because they had a shot to turn it around. They forced Clemson into a three and out the first possession in the third quarter. You remember that?
Yeah. I was watching.
So that's when I sent out the tweet, one stop, check mark. Okay, now we just drive down the field. Ian Book, Heisman candidate quarterback, gets us a touchdown. Now we're 24-10. Let's play some football. Nothing happened.
No. I mean, let's be completely honest here. I'm an Ohio State fan. You're obviously a Notre Dame fan.
Ohio State / West Virginia.
Yeah, true. Alabama or Clemson is going to win the national championship.
Correct. Yes.
There's no, I mean, yeah. Unless Trey Sermon rushes for 300 yards every single fucking football game.
Which, how did that happen? Did anyone know who this guy was before this weekend?
Yeah, I knew who he was. Like, I mean, if you're an Ohio State fan, transfer from Georgia, I think.
But he had like 300 yards the whole rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't played great. But also, I mean, when you have your top wide receiver out and your number four in targets out, you kind of have to do something with the ball. And he did something with the ball, all right.
He did all the things with the ball, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, Alabama or Clemson, by far and away, the better top four football teams in the country.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too, where it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, you realize, okay, yeah, once December hits, it's just two different things between what Alabama and Clemson do versus what everybody else does.
Now, I'm not saying Ohio State and Notre Dame couldn't beat one of these teams. Obviously, I mean, Notre Dame beat Clemson, but, I mean, that's a
– people forget that. You know, people forgot that a little bit, okay?
They did.
I just want to make that very clear. Notre Dame beat Clemson.
They did.
That did happen.
They did not beat Clemson at their full strength. And I think that was very –
Did they beat Clemson, Ben?
They did. They did. You know what I saw today that kind of like just pissed me off just a little bit, because the SEC does not need to brag about this. I saw a tweet that said Alabama's the only team ever to go 11-0 in conference play. I'm like, because you played 11 conference games.
Get out of here, dude. Get out of here.
I saw that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
do you want credit for beating Missouri? You want credit for beating Missouri if you're Alabama? You're an NFL team. You're an NFL minor league team.
Yeah, dude, I saw that. I'm like, are you, like, why? Like, you know, like, some intern that runs their social media thought they were being the most clever, like, person ever to put that tweet out.
And you know that that was, like, when Notre Dame fans were, like, dying a slow, painful death, too, on Twitter. You know, like, everything was just happening, and we were just getting absolute – like, I was getting – like, people were – like, in, like, halfway through the third quarter, people were, like, liking my tweets that I would put out at halftime. And then, like, at the start of the fourth quarter, I would start getting, like, responses to those tweets saying, like, it's a tough scene. Like, that's
– dude, you should be proud of me. I did not text you once about
that. That's correct. That's correct. You let me die my slow, painful death inside.
But I keep wondering what would have happened if Alabama would have lost last night.
I mean, that would have been crazy.
What do you do? What do you do if you're the committee?
Yeah.
Like, it. I mean, Alabama was up like 35-17 at halftime. So, I mean, it looked – and they were, like, controlling the game. And then I got home and I saw something that was, like, why did Florida go for two there or whatever? I'm like, if they're going for two, it has to be, you know, somewhat close. So, I turned on right as they were going to kick the onside kick to try and, you know, have some shot of winning, and that didn't work out well. But if Alabama would have lost, do you put a two-loss Florida team in the playoffs?
Not over Notre Dame.
What about a one-loss Texas A&M team who beat Florida and then lost to Alabama?
So, okay, we put Alabama and Clemson kind of in that 1-2 category. They're like, those are clearly the two best teams in the country, right?
Correct.
Against those teams – Notre Dame went 1-1.
Correct.
Texas A&M went 0-1 and lost by the – it got dominated. Because that final score, when I looked up that final score against Alabama like early in the season, that was 24-52. That game was not that close.
That's true.
Like that – I watched that game. That game was also a shit pumping. And so – we got to look at that too. So Texas A&M 0-1 against those kind of teams. Then you get into a two-loss Florida. Okay, you lost two games. That's you can't do that. Can't do that and get in the playoff. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing it would have shook out how it's going to with what we said: Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Notre Dame 4. Even if Alabama lost, I mean, if Alabama loses, maybe you put Clemson at 1. I don't know. But
so, yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, we are obviously recording this before the playoff is announced. So we're recording this at like it's 10:50 in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah. So we're about a hour and something away from actually knowing what happens. So this is just our guess of. I mean, I think now it's pretty cut and dry. It's going to be Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Notre Dame 4. Just because they don't want back-to-back like games of Clemson, Notre Dame.
I also, by the way, saw some Cincinnati people on Twitter coming out of the woodwork yesterday saying like, undefeated Cincinnati. Oh, so we just care about the TV ratings? That's all we care about? So we're just going to let Notre Dame in for the TV ratings?
I think I genuinely think Cincinnati should have a shot.
If this was an 8-team playoff, yes.
But I don't think they're the 9th team. So they haven't played they didn't play the last 2 weeks until last night.
Yeah.
And they fell a spot each week. I don't think that's right. I that's clearly SEC bias, like Power 5 bias coming into play.
Yes.
Which I don't think, I mean, Cincinnati might be a good enough football. I think they could probably hold their own against this year's Ohio State team.
I think like the last – so I've said on the podcast before, like, okay, Cincinnati lost 42-0 last year against Ohio State. this year's Ohio State team is not last year's Ohio State team.
They aren't, but they've also haven't played their last few games. They haven't played with a full roster of people.
They've also played six games.
What?
They've played six games.
I understand. But they also beat the number 14 team in the country with, I think, the number 2 defense in the country or something like that by double digits. And
Northwestern. You know, really?
Did you watch Northwestern play yesterday?
Yeah. They played against an Ohio State team who hasn't played in 6 months. Ben, the Ohio State and Northwestern should not be a close football game.
On any other year, yes. I think Northwestern is better than you're giving them credit for. They have a freshman safety who leads the entire NCAA in interceptions.
Great.
Did you see that one-handed interception he made?
Yes. You're playing against Justin Fields, dude. Justin Fields should not be having a problem with Northwestern. Okay? It shouldn't happen. When all this talk is being had about Justin Fields.
I guarantee you if Northwestern played Notre Dame and they struggled, you'd be like, well, Northwestern is a very good football team.
That's defensively. Probably right. That's probably correct because I talked myself into thinking North Carolina was like a top 10 team in the country. I was like, hey, this is a ranked win over North Carolina. All right. This was impressive.
But no, I mean, Ohio State, yeah, they should have won. The game should not have been as close as it was.
Yeah. But I think full strength Ohio State, like if this is a regular season, full strength Ohio State versus full strength Northwestern is a 3-touchdown game. Like that's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, Northwestern is a good football team this year. They're not a bad football team.
That's correct.
But also the Big Ten this year is just atrocious.
So that's what I think Capel, was it Pat Capel who replied to me on Twitter saying like this was I said like, yeah, Ohio State won 6 games against one of the worst Big Tens in recent history. And Capel gets on Twitter and he's like, excuse me, they beat Indiana when they were ranked in the top 10, which Indiana, hey, good football team.
Indiana, if their quarterback didn't tear his ACL.
Yeah.
I would have wondered if they wouldn't have voted to put Ohio State in to the Big Ten championship if Indiana was still at full strength.
That's an interesting question.
Interesting question. Indiana, good.
Yeah,
they were a good football team.
Lost to Ohio State in Columbus by a touchdown.
Something like that. I mean, it was close.
I think it was 42-35.
But good football team. Quarterback tears the ACL. I mean, they're obviously not going to be the same football team.
Yeah. I'm not happy. Obviously, 100% horrible thing would happen to Indiana's quarterback. All of the terrible, dick jokes that were made about this dude because of his last name, that being gone is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for sports Twitter to now, not have that to go on.
You know, we had a dick joke thrown on us this week, too.
Oh, do we want to get into that? Let's get into Malone Brown. Ben.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't have this in the lineup.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it.
I'm kind of mad at ourselves.
But also that shows that we just don't care.
Well. Okay. So I wrote the blog about it, which it did pretty good views. So I think a lot of people saw it. But just to recap. Okay. So I looked up the dates before I put this blog out, by the way. Just to get everything correct. November 30th, Malone Brown sends in an application.
The weirdest application we've ever seen in our lives. Made no sense.
In the best way. Like, the dude, I mean, Ben, like, we read this application. Well written. Like,
yeah.
Wanted to talk about hockey and SEC football.
Clearly put some thought into what he wrote down.
So usually the application that we have out, we tell people, listen, it should take you no longer than 10 to 15 minutes to fill this out.
it should really probably take you no longer than like 5 minutes. But for some
reason, you have to write like, I think you have to write like a paragraph for an answer and another paragraph for an answer. Like,
I don't know, but people, I feel like some people when they fill this out, they actually think they're filling out like an actual job application. So oh, they yeah. like go like very into like professional, like
right
detail.
Yeah.
So like
Marcus did that. Do you remember Marcus's application? Marcus yeah, was yeah. like, he was like, it was like, I like, it was like an interview, but written out. Yeah.
It's like, we're not that, nah, write what you want.
Yeah.
But really, you probably don't even have to write anything and we'd still bring you on to a Zoom call to talk to you. So, I mean,
well, no, because there have been a couple of people who've turned in the test box and were like, ah, can't do that. But
I said, Zoom call to talk to you. I mean, like, at least figure out what you like.
Yeah. Anyway, the dude put some thought into this application. Like it was impressive. Like we were like, yeah, we need to read this dude's stuff. So we reach out to him, have him send him in two test blocks. Send us in two test blocks, right? We don't put them out. We're just gonna read them just to see like how you write, stuff like that, so we can feel so we could figure out where you fit, stuff like that. So he sends in two full test blogs and then a third test blog that was like two paragraphs long. So he sent in like 2.5 test blogs that yeah. were, again, well-written, like funny. I mean,
it probably took him at least 30 minutes each.
At least. Yeah. I mean, like well-written blogs, funny, great. So we were like, this is awesome. Like hockey and SEC football, this dude wants to talk about. Nobody, I'm pretty sure people who mainly pay attention to SEC football don't even know that hockey exists.
Probably.
So like, so I'm like, this is awesome. Really unique guy. Let's talk to him. So, we reach out to him and still like very responsive, prompt with his responses. Great. Like, hey, like we want to set up a Zoom with you. Like, can we, Ben and I, we want to talk to you. And he's like, yeah, really excited. Great. I can do this day at this time. I think it was like Wednesday at 6:30 or something. So he said, yeah, great. A couple of days later, he reaches out to us and says, hey, I need to get off work. I'm not going to be able to make it back until 7:15. So can we do it then? So like he's rescheduling for work and it's like, I mean, this feels real. Yes.
Yes, but I said from the beginning, this has to be somebody messing with us.
But because you said it at the beginning, then there was also a point where you were like, all right, like he wrote the blogs, he sent in the application.
Yeah, I mean, like it, I was very on the fence about it. Because, I mean, even when we got on the Zoom call, I was like, dude, this has to, even before he was late, I was like, watch this just be like somebody messing with us, like somebody we know, like fucking Cap or Andy's just gonna hop on the Zoom call and be like, haha, got you fuckers. Like,
yeah, seemed like a very, like, yeah, like Coop maybe, or like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, too, we have like, I think almost everybody like who writes for us has some kind of burner almost.
Yeah. Like, we have 20 writers and I think probably close to about 40 Twitter accounts.
Yeah. I mean, like it could have been anybody.
Yeah. But like, I was like, yeah, this is a real dude. And so like, so 7:15 happens and he's not there. Okay. 7:20 happens. Still not there. So we're like, all right, let's send him an email. Just say like, hey, did you still want to do this Zoom? And then he wrote back, do you have the email pulled up?
I can. Let's see here.
I want to get the wording completely correct.
So Joe said this was at, oh, it doesn't have the time. Oh, 7:22. You said, hey, Malone, are you still able to do the Zoom meeting with us? Thanks, Joe Laughlin. All right. So then He responded back.
What? How long did this response take?
It took him 15 minutes to respond back. So we're at 7:37. So at this point,
on the Zoom, by the way.
Yeah. So at this point, I had gotten off.
That's right. You had, like, you had just gotten off.
Because you and I were talking about stuff that, I mean, we needed to talk about anyways. Yeah. Like, after, like, okay, he's not coming. Like, we'll just talk about whatever.
Broken
egg. Like, so it wasn't a wasted, like.
Right.
Which I think is what they thought they were doing. Like, they thought they were wasting our time.
Right.
But it was the exact opposite. Like, it actually
got us. All we were doing, Ben, was making our company better.
It actually got us to talk about stuff. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So, 7:37, you text me.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, hop back on, hop back on, hop back on. And I'm like, oh man, did he actually like join? Like, that's what I thought. And you're like, read the email. So this email says, hey Joe, are you still able to fit Malone Brown dick in your mouth? Thanks, Malone Brown.
Okay. So now we're like, so my first reaction to this is like, oh, so this is a game and he's like just trying to mess with us. So let's play the game. Like, yeah, dude, let's get on the Zoom and like, let's chat. Let's have a chat. So I respond to the email saying like, yeah, sure, buddy. Let's get like, hop on Zoom. Let's chat. So I was like, all right, let's mix it up a little bit with this guy.
Joe sent three emails after that saying, well, let's just hop on and chat. But this is so this burner account that we're not going to name because that's what they want.
Yeah.
Tagged us on Twitter.
Right.
Of a thumbnail from a YouTube video that says, who is Malone Brown?
Right.
So, like, I could tell it was a YouTube thumbnail. So, I went out on YouTube and saw it.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just some video. It was like, do you know Malone Brown or something?
Yeah.
Like, no, it was like, Malone Brown, dick in your mouth or something. So, we're like, oh, okay. So, it wasn't even his own joke. Right. So, like.
And
cool.
And it's not like a YouTube account with like a million subscribers or like this was not a widely seen video.
And also this burner account has 66 followers.
I think it was 65 when I checked last, but congrats on 66.
I mean, what is something 60 right, something. So he's putting on for an audience that is a fraction of what we have.
Yeah.
So, and I guarantee you half those accounts are also his burners. So
yeah.
I mean,
our three, we don't really talk about numbers much, but six. So he has 66 followers on Twitter. We do three times that a week on podcast lessons. And we do close to three times, more than three times that on page views in a day.
Do we do 60 page views before I even wake up in the morning?
Like, I mean. That sounded too that I'll cut that sounded gross.
It's true though.
I mean, it is true. Like, but that makes me feel gross.
All right. So this dude stopped responding basically, and is like, he sent another dick joke in the email. So then Joe hit him with, "Hey man, I don't know what's going on, but those three blogs you sent him were actually really well put together. I'd love to talk with you more about writing here."
Yeah.
So then this person responds, wait, did you actually like my blogs?
This is key. This is key here because there was a crack. Like he let a crack open, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were well-written blogs.
They were.
I wish we had like turned it in or something to see if he like plagiarized those or something. Like there's some other blog out there.
Hey, listen, there
he just copied and pasted.
Hey, like we didn't. I didn't think about that, but the ones that he turned in were funny, well-written, good. And so like, I was at the thing of like, all right, man, the dick jokes, whatever, fine. I'm aware of who this is now. Like, I know who this is coming from, whatever.
Which
fine.
This also came during a week where we had burner fan accounts come pop up.
Oh yeah.
So like I mean
number one BA fan or something.
Yeah, and then we have BA commenter and they spelled commenter wrong, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So like, and also I think us not reacting, because we're pretty sure it's all the same people. who
I think it's the same person.
Who was involved in all this.
Yeah.
If you notice, since this really happened, like we were supposed to meet with them, they haven't been
on anything.
On like responding to any of our stuff, like anything.
Yeah.
And I think their plan for everything backfired in the Xavier group chat too. Cause they like you sent something and then somebody like sent the Joey like Malone Brown blah 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 and then it just turned into other people making penis jokes
Like, because it was literally like there was one person who was like you fell for Malone Brown and I wrote after the three blog posts that he wrote, the application that he sent in, the scheduling and the rescheduling of a Zoom meeting, I did believe Malone Brown was a real person from Toronto who lives in Toronto, who pays attention to us, went to Ole Miss. Like he, by the way, created a whole backstory about who he was.
Yeah. I mean, so these people say it doesn't take a lot of effort to hate us, but mind you, they've made two fake Twitter accounts.
Right.
They had to make a fake email, write fake test blogs, do email correspondence for over a week.
By the way, application to happening was 17 days. So 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Continue.
They had to fill out the application. Like they spent a good amount of time.
Yeah.
On this prank, or whatever. I don't even know what you want to call it.
Yeah, so I was talking to Hunter that night, actually, because he texted me that night. He was like, dude, did this really happen? And I was like, yeah, dude, like, this is crazy. Like, this is right after the blog came out. And he goes, I mean, this is absolutely, like, a positive thing for us. Because, like, if people are willing to spend that much time and energy, like, not liking us, like, actively not liking us, we're eliciting some kind of reaction from people. Like,
why? I don't know what they thought they were gonna gain out of doing this. Like,
I don't know, man. It was what? Like, it looking back on it, like the joke itself is pretty funny. Like, it's, you know, Malone Brown dick in your mouth. Like, that's, you know, it's,
but 2 weeks of setup for just that joke.
That's what makes it funny. It's like, all right, come on, this dude. Sad. Like, this is just sad.
Like, that's just,
oh dude, it was interesting.
Like, it would have been better if they filled out the application, like, and they said, like, hey, man, like, can we set up a meeting or something so I can stick Malone Brown dick in your mouth or something? Like, that would have been way better execution or something than waiting 2 weeks just to blow us off on a Zoom call that we needed to have anyways.
Yeah.
Like,
So the point of the thing is, like, hey, if you're wanting to come at us, like, or do something, hey, listen, we're not gonna say that we don't deserve criticism sometimes, all right? There's shit that we do that, I'll be honest, we mess up sometimes. There's bad takes, something. Listen, we're human, all right? We're human.
Joe has terrible takes all the time.
Well,
but we're not gonna get into that right now.
Whatever. But like, hey, listen. Let us coach you up a little bit, man. Like, help us help you tear us down.
Dude, they needed something, man, because that was just – and like I said, it wasn't even like it was original. Like, they didn't come up with it.
They got obviously, like, video. Yeah. But that was the only thing that they did. That was the only – like, it was like the finishing thing of the thing was the only, like, bad part of that. Like, you put in so much legitimate time and effort into putting out, like, good blogs and a good application and, like, being prompted the responses and, like, getting to us back with a Zoom call and, like, all that stuff. You had the link to the Zoom. You could have hopped on with us and messed with us directly.
Yeah. Like, they could have hopped on the Zoom and, like, oh, yeah, let's write for us. And then they could have put out a first blog that, like, now that would have been –
yeah,
worse.
Like, you could have really messed us up.
That, I mean, but hey, they didn't have the end game in mind here. They just going for the short term laughs, and it wasn't even that funny.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I don't know, man. It was a wild couple of minutes for sure. But I mean it's like I wrote in the blog, like, it's what we talked with Thomas Mack when he came on the pod back in August. He was like, listen, if you have some people online who just don't like you, stuff like that, like, that's gonna happen. You have to know that there's a bigger group who does like you and
yeah.
does say that stuff. So, like, I mean, you know, like, you got to take that advice from someone who has 1.5 million followers on TikTok, because I guarantee you, he probably gets some comments every day that, like,
oh yeah,
or like, this guy stinks or whatever. But
guaranteed.
I don't know, man. Weird scenario. Funny scenario.
Yeah, makes no sense.
Yeah,
I mean, but hey, it is what it is. We got a good little laugh out of it for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
And then we moved on with our day.
Yeah. Other sports news. Charlie Woods. Ben. Congratulations.
All right. I mean, I got the Tiger Woods hat, the Sunday red Tiger Woods polo.
Yeah.
The black pants on.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
golf had its brawny moment last weekend.
Did you see? I mean, it got annoying, but also it is incredible to see just how similar they are in the things that they do. Like, have you seen the swing sequence videos where they like are on the practice range, they hit at the same time, they do the same little step back. Like, it is like Charlie is a mirror image of Tiger Woods as he is right now. And it is insane.
What's crazy is, yeah, like the, so I didn't see the swing. I heard about like the attitude. Like,
stepped up first tee, 100 people watching.
Yeah.
I mean, he pulled a little bit, but hey.
What are you going to do?
100 people watching, biggest golf swing of his career so far.
Yeah.
And steps up to the plate and, you know,
and does then the hits it and then picks up the tee, doesn't even see where it goes. Like,
dude, the swagger this kid has.
The club twirl,
Oh yeah, club twirl, club twirling like 5 yard wedge shots, like.
Dude. Good for insane. Him, man.
But the best moment I saw. I mean, granted, this is Sunday, so there could still be,
yeah,
a lot of great moments happening right. while we're recording this.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he made an eagle, on his own ball on a par five. So like,
really,
I'm pretty sure that because he plays from like some junior tees that are like
way. Yeah, I was gonna say when they said 62 and people were like freaking out, I was like, all right.
It was a scramble format.
Yes.
So like obviously Tiger's playing from, I don't know what the back tees. I'm not gonna call it the tips, but
dude's playing from the parking lot. Yeah.
But they're whatever they're having the like professionals play at.
Right.
And then Charlie's like way up there.
Right.
So par five hits his, I'm pretty sure they use his drive, and then they had like 175 yards left, and he had to hook it around these trees basically. And he put it to like 5 feet.
Oh my God.
Like,
that's not normal.
Hit an insane shot.
That's not normal.
Like,
Ben.
You see him walk around like, so he can see where it lands, and you see a little fist pump. Like,
yeah.
So then he gets up there, putts first, drains the eagle putt.
Of course.
And Tiger is just probably the happiest I've seen him look on a golf course ever. Like, all the feels. Yeah. Like, I was like, man, this is.
Yeah.
And, like, or later in the day, Tiger had obviously teed off because he's farther back. Charlie's up there. Before the ball even hits ground, he turns around and gives his dad, like, the thumbs up. And they had to clear, like, a bunker and everything, too. Turns around. Picks the tee up, turns around, thumbs up to his dad, like, we're good. We don't pick your ball up on the way up here. We're taking mine.
Yeah.
Like,
the biggest takeaway that I had from it was the golfing part of it. Like, but in addition to that, like, people were saying, like, no. He has like the same attitude as Tiger Woods.
Yeah, dude. If Charlie's actually good at golf, the world is in for something.
Well, because like the whole thing about Tiger Woods is that it's like the same as Michael Jordan. Like when you hang out with Tiger Woods, everything is a competition. Yeah. Like, who can like drink a cup of water the fastest or something? It's like, dude.
Dude, as long as Charlie doesn't get burnout, and obviously he still has a long way to go before he can, you know.
How old is he?
11.
Okay. So at what age do you have to be 18 to be a pro?
No, he could turn pro right today.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no like age limit on. Really?
No, it's just a lot. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to do it until you at least graduate high school.
Why? What is there like a? Do you need some kind of like education background to do it or something?
No, but it just makes. I mean, getting high school education is probably pretty important. Because what if this golf thing doesn't, you know, like
it's probably a good call.
Pan out.
So yeah, you should get like a GED or something.
Yeah. So. Most and the college golf is that's where you probably really learn if you can play.
So I thought college golf was only for people, it was like college baseball, like it's only for people who couldn't go to the PGA like straight out of high school.
No, I mean, there's a whole lot of different. The PGA Tour is one of the hardest professional sports to make it on, like getting onto the PGA Tour. Not easy.
How many golfers are on the PGA Tour?
125 retain their full exempt card every single year.
Wow.
I don't know what the number is, probably less than 250 that compete in a PGA tournament.
The PGA Tour, like it's also like that. It's the I'm trying to think. I don't think tennis has this, but the PGA Tour is like the only league where it's worldwide and it's known as the best league in the world.
Yeah. I mean, so basically to become a PGA Tour golfer, there's a few ways that you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You could either Monday qualify for enough events. And then in those events you win money.
Yeah.
And then you make it onto like money lists, and based on that, like blah, blah, blah. Then you can earn special exemptions. And it's a whole thing. Or you could take the route of going through Q school. And then from there, you get on the web.com tour. And then the top 25 on the money list of the web.com tour every season then get their PGA Tour cards. Mm. Or if you win like 3 times, you automatically get your PGA Tour card. So, but like, I mean, it's difficult. You're playing against like PGA Tour caliber people every single week. And you're also not making a whole lot of money. Well, so like, if you aren't playing well, you're struggling.
Yeah. I thought it was like you're like, you get the, but you still get the big checks if you win, like Happy Gilmore. Like you still get the big checks if you win, and you get to put it in the back of your car and just hang out with it.
I think they've pretty much gone away from those big checks, but
sad.
I could be wrong.
I hope they didn't. The big checks are good.
Like, why didn't I get a check for winning the Broken Anchor Open?
Oh, you should have. You should have, Ben. Because we don't have money. That's why. Well, good for Charlie Woods, man. Happy for him.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see how Sunday goes here. And report back next week.
The last thing I wanted to get into before we'll get into some would you rathers, and then we'll get into so we'll get into some would you rathers and some shower thoughts to kind of round out the show. But Ben, I went into a different rabbit hole this week.
Okay.
So I watch a lot of YouTube throughout the week, probably more than I'd like to admit.
Yeah.
And therefore that leads to going down a lot of rabbit holes, Ben.
Of course.
This week, I got into listening to David Spade and Adam Sandler interviews about like their old times at SNL and like the type of crap they would do, and that led into other stuff about like other SNL people, about what they would do like to prank each other. Like when they were like writing. Apparently, when you write at SNL, you're at the office till like 5 a.m. writing skits or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So like stuff goes like you get very close with the people you work with there, apparently. the type of pranks that they were talking about playing on each other were like past. It was like, oh, this isn't even, this is like you need to, like, you need therapy for like thinking of these pranks. Like, these people are crazy. It's like, well, not even, it's like not even what anybody would do to anybody ever.
Well, I'm assuming a lot of it probably had to do with all the drugs that they were probably on too.
Well, Chris Farley was known, like, he was into some stuff.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he OD'd, like, yeah. Died because, you know, drugs. But I'm guarantee all of them were, like, which, by the way, so in Vegas, there's this haunted museum, mm-hmm. and there's this room that the dude has of, like, celebrity, like, memorabilia from, like, dead celebrities, obviously. And so he has like the chair next to where like Michael Jackson died, like in his hotel room. He has that chair, but he has something, I can't remember what it exactly was, from Chris Farley, but he had something related to like Chris Farley. And by that are the like crime scene photos, like the legitimate crime scene photos of him like dead, like OD'd.
Why?
Dude, this museum's like fucked up, but it's so cool. Like,
all right, so some of these pranks that I found were like just past funny. So I want to read some past of these
funny.
Yes, like to the point of where it's like, all right, man, I don't know if I can like speak or talk to you for quite a while after. Like, if this happened to me, I'd be like, I don't know if I can talk to you after this. So the first one is actually this is the tamest one that I found. That was like, all right, I could talk about this on the podcast. The tamest one that I found was Andy Samberg would like prank people, like scare people when they come out of the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, in principle, like from what I just said, normal prank, like, hey, boo. All right. Yeah. Funny. Keep it moving. Andy Samberg would turn off all the lights, like get someone else to like flicker the lights on and off. Like he would like make up like a makeshift like haunted house when you walk out of the bathroom. So he would go to extreme lengths to like to scare you coming out of the bathroom to do this. So that's one of like, all right, it's past funny where it's like, all right, man, this is like too much. But like,
mm-hmm.
whatever floats your boat, I guess. The second one, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from tamest to less tame to what the actual hell is this dude's problem.
Okay.
So second one, the last two are Chris Farley. Chris Farley would get like really, really, really overly mad at David Spade for not like, you would just overreact to stuff that he would do. And so he would like, David Spade was like hanging out with a girl or something like that. And he would be like, oh, I'm going to fight him, or I'm going to beat him up or something like that. And Adam Sandler would be the guy to like talk him down and say like, hey man, if you win, if you beat him up, you're looked at as just a jerk. But if you lose in a fight to David Spade, you're just a gigantic, you're just the biggest wussy of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Farley, he kind of get talked down. Apparently one night he left David Spade a voicemail that David Spade said that he deleted, but the voicemail was like, he said he was getting threatened. He was like, I'm going to come to your house. Like, I'm going to kill you. Like, I'm going to like, he was threatening him. Like, he was like, great. This is not good. And then, so David Spade didn't come to work the next day. Cause he was like, I don't want my life threatened. Like, I don't want this to actually happen. And then he gets another call from Farley that he actually picks up, and Farley goes, did you read my joke message? And then they like had a good laugh and moved on. I was like, if like Ben leaves me a message on his phone saying like, hey dude, if you come to work tomorrow, I will like take a baseball, like I will kill you. Like, that's not a funny thing to say. Like, that's not comedic. Like, what are we doing? And, like, they were all telling these stories on, like, talk shows and saying, like, yeah, it was, you know, funny, whatever. Ha ha, move on. I was like, dude, that's just crazy.
Yeah, that one's I mean, that one's not bad, but I mean, it's
the third one that I texted to you when I found this out.
Yeah, that one was a little weird.
That's like, if I, Ben, if I were to do this to you,
yeah,
what would you be able to ever talk to me ever again?
You probably wouldn't be able to talk because you'd be dead.
You would kill me?
Yes. So that voicemail that I would have left you joking about killing you?
You would have actually done it.
I would have followed through.
Oh my God, dude. So Chris Farley finds out that David Spade is dating a Playboy bunny. So it's like the height of their SNL time. They're famous, whatever. Dating a Playboy bunny, David Spade. Chris Farley then finds out about this and says, oh, I'm going to play a little prank on David Spade. Goes into David Spade's office with the Playboy magazine in which his girlfriend is located, posing scantily clad, to say the least. We're gentlemen on this podcast, Ben. and Chris Farley does his business, you know, hangs out with Jill for a little bit, feeds the geese, okay, and just leaves and does it onto the magazine. So it's
his
sitting.
His kids are now on the magazine.
His kids are now sitting on the magazine. He just puts the magazine on David Spade's desk and leaves, waits a little bit, and then like walks up to David Spade and says like, hey, go, I left a present on your desk for you. And David Spade goes, oh, nice. Nice little present on the desk. Walks in and sees that. You can't be friends with someone after that.
No.
How does that happen? How do you get to that in your, like, how does that, like, you see, oh yeah, like he's got a, like a hot new girlfriend. Great. Oh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a picture of her, do my business onto that picture, and then leave it on his desk and show it to him.
It had to be the drugs, dude. Like, no person in their right mind would do that.
Like, what are we doing, dude?
Has to be the drugs.
Oh, I saw that video and immediately I was like, we have to talk about it. This is not normal. Like, we have to talk about this on podcast.
That one's a little messed up, to say the least.
Oh my God. Terrible. Like, it was like.
Yeah, no, that's not something I really want to think about.
Let's move on. Weirded me out. Let's get into some would you rathers. We had a couple of good ones. A couple of good ones sent in. Which thank you guys again for doing that. I like this segment, by the way.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It's good. Good to do every week. It's good to get the people involved. That went well. That sentence went well.
I'm glad you got that one out there, Joe.
So the first would you rather, I would say is, I'm happy if Mike Tyson reads this, or listens to this, I think you're fine. And I think you speak completely fine. I just want to put that out there. The would you rather is, would you rather go one round against Mike Tyson in a boxing ring,
mm-hmm.
or have his speech impediment? And I just want to say, if Mike is listening to this, and I think Ben, I can speak on behalf of you too, we're fine with how you speak. I think you have a good voice. I think I don't have a problem with you at all.
So my question is, is it like Mike Tyson in his prime, or is it today's Mike Tyson?
Is there a difference?
I'm sure there is.
Ben, Mike Tyson now is more ripped than me and you combined will ever be in our lives.
I completely understand that. but I have a little bit of a feeling that his punching power when he was in his prime is probably a little bit stronger than what it is now.
Mike Tyson's another one of those like Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan mentality kind of people.
Oh, 100%.
Because I remember when he went on Rogan, he said like, I didn't want to start training again because I didn't want to feed my ego. Like, I didn't want to start training and then tell myself like, oh no, you can beat the best boxer in the world now. Mike Tyson. Do you think you could live through a round where Mike Tyson is just coming at you?
How long's a round?
3 minutes.
So a 3 minute round.
3 minute round. I would live.
Yeah. So if I had to pick between those two, I would probably take my chances in a one round fight with him.
Because the key is like, there's no chance that you're winning this fight.
Oh, hell no.
Round fight. The goal is to come out of this and be able to tell the story when you leave.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm running around that ring.
Yeah. So let's get into this. How would you, if you get one round with Mike Tyson, how are you attacking this round?
Try and stay as far away from him as possible for as long as possible.
I will tell you, Ben, I don't think you're going to avoid this guy with speed for 3 minutes.
Oh, no, no.
I don't think you're a very agile human being.
No, but I can buy some time.
Okay.
Okay. So that, I mean, you maybe got a minute of avoiding him at the most. I think anybody, you could maybe, you know,
run around play for a minute. It's a sweet science game. So there's the dance that happens that you got to like, you know, get around the ring a little bit. That's 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll say you're down to 2 minutes by the time. Okay. Now you got to deal with him.
Now you got to live.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's my plan.
Yep.
As soon as I take a punch from him, I'm falling down. The fight's over.
No, because then that's not a round. You got to last a round, Ben.
I have to last a round.
You got to get through. No, that's a wuss move, Ben. You got to last a round. How do you get through a round against Mike Tyson?
Get really close to him so he can't throw too many good punches.
Oh yeah, what's the you can hug someone in boxing?
Yeah, I would hug the shit out of Mike Tyson
at least 6 times.
More than that.
Okay, so let's break the time down. Okay, so you got about 30 seconds for the dance, all right? For the sweet science. So it's 30 seconds right there. So now you're down to 2.5 minutes. Then you got 6 times where you hug him. So what? What
probably
is
about
that?
Another 30, 45 seconds.
I'm going to say 30. 45 seconds for 6 hugs is a lot. That's what, 9 seconds a hug? No. It's 45 divided by 6. 9. Yeah, it's 9 seconds a hug.
I would say between the dancing around and the clinching, we'd get down to about half the round left.
I would say closer to you'd get a minute knocked out. Minute to a minute 15 if you're lucky. And then if you want to start just running, then that's where you can get another 30 seconds, 45 seconds in.
Okay, so we're about a minute left in this fight.
So we got a minute left where we have run from him, hugged him, and just kind of jumped around in a circle with him.
Uh-huh.
So now we got a minute left that we're kind of out of options here.
I can tell you one thing I'm not going to do is throw punches.
So that's the thing. Do you just throw like a little jab maybe just to kind of throw him off a little bit?
Because I think if you throw a punch, it's just going to make him even more mad.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make him mad.
Oh, also, anything, do we get time to train for this?
If anything, I'm going in there and I'm just flailing my arms.
do we get time to train?
What kind of training are we going to do?
I don't know, Ben. I can learn how to throw a jab in a month.
Okay, what do you do? You're 100 and however many feathers you weigh against Mike Tyson. Wow, you know how to throw a jab that would probably just feel like, I don't know, he'd probably just be like buzzing off a fly.
I think I could throw a punch and still live to tell the story of how I went around with Mike Tyson.
I would throw a punch, but okay. Like it, I'm not throwing like combos here.
No. We're not going into like hooks or anything like that. No. Cause then that opens the door for you to talk to angels, Ben. I mean, dude, by the way, have you heard Sylvester Stallone told a story about when he was filming Rocky IV, and he said that he, like, Ivan Drago sent him to the hospital for 4 days.
What?
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren sent him to the hospital for 4 days. He said, like, he hit him in the chest or something like that and, like, knocked him out. Something happened, and he was on a low-altitude flight surrounded by 4 nuns to a hospital. And he said, I thought I was dead. I thought, like, this was it. Like, here I go.
Damn.
I think I could throw a punch and still live against a round with Mike Tyson. I would throw a punch, and then I would probably not even bother running. I would probably just, like, turn around and go into a corner and just clam up.
Nah, dude, because then you could attack, like, your body, and I don't think... I think you want to be able to breathe after this.
Well, but you can't do kidney punches.
Yeah, but he could still hit you in the ribs.
How many ribs can you break and still live to tell us that?
Drew Brees has 11 broken ribs right now.
How many broken ribs does Drew Brees have right now?
But yeah, I think I could last a round.
Because that lisp is tough.
Yeah,
it's tough, but I mean, it's a bad thing to be a part of, man.
Now let's get into the one that I saw.
Yeah,
So you know where I got this from?
Where'd you get this from, Ben?
So a TikTok.
Ooh, there's that's what the kids are calling it now.
This lady, who pops up on my TikTok every now and again. She's a teacher.
Mm.
And she's teaching like little kids.
Right.
Okay. I can tell you, these videos are very entertaining. Like,
so you then thought, oh, a teacher who normally talks to third graders is then appropriate to then ask us questions.
Oh, yeah.
Because we read at around a third grade level.
Correct.
Okay.
Continue. So the one that she had was, and this is a little, getting in the Christmas spirit here.
Okay.
Would you rather have Rudolph's red nose?
Mm.
Or elf ears.
Mm. Now, what makes Rudolph's nose? Is it always glowing red? Or is it just like a clown nose?
We could change it. You have to wear a clown nose. We'll say that would be like the equivalent.
Because if it's glowing red, that has its pros and cons.
Correct.
Because if it's glowing red, listen, you don't have to pay for a flashlight ever. I mean, like, we got to think about this, Ben.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is, like, would you have to eat more in order to power the glowing? So would you get tired easier because it's electricity that has to power the light? Would you have to then, like, eat more? Because if that's the case, then, hey, listen, I'm burning calories easier. Cause I'm gonna say
nothing changes, but you just have a red nose that glows now. Nothing else changes.
I like my scenario better.
Okay.
Cause then it helps.
You can go with your scenario. Me. I'll go with mine.
Yeah. So Rudolph's red nose helps you lose weight. Confirmed.
Sure.
Yep.
I can tell you, I would not want elf ears.
Well, I have elf ears, so that's like it's
makes. But I'm talking about like pointy, like you're
like you could very stab noticeably someone with your ears.
What?
Like you could stab someone with?
Yeah, very ears. Noticeably, like large pointy ears.
Mm. Would you be able to hear better?
No, no other benefit. Just big ears.
You get no other benefits for. I feel like. I feel like you should get some benefit from having
mammoth
ears. You just have big ass ears and you just have to deal with it.
Yep.
That stinks.
A lot.
Because ears, like, ears are one of those things where you don't even notice on a person until you mention their ears, and then it's the only thing you notice about a person. Like, dude, have you ever I've been sitting at work or something like that, and I'll notice someone's ears or something like that. And then for the next 20 minutes, when I'm looking at someone, I will only think about what their ears look like and how normal or abnormal they are.
Can't say I've done that, but good for you.
I feel like if you had bigger ears, you'd be able to hear better. I feel like Reggie Miller could probably hear better than the average human being.
All right, so which one would you pick?
So losing weight easier and eating more easily versus hearing better.
Sure.
And you get a perpetual flashlight. I mean, Ben, Rudolph's red nose has some perks now, all right?
I agree. I would go Rudolph's nose, but not based off your whatever reasoning you're using.
I feel like my answer is anatomically correct.
We'll go with it. Sure.
Great. Yeah, so that's what I would do.
Okay, agreed.
And then the big shower thought that I had this past week, I actually thought about it just before we started taping this, because I'm living at my parents' house still for another couple of weeks here before we move into an apartment. Huh. But my mom has like a jar of shells in the bathroom that I use. And so I looked at this jar of shells and I was like, well, are shells a part of the rock family? Like, how does this work? Are shells rocks?
So based on my,
your deep research that you've done,
my research that I'm doing here,
mm.
This says the shells are made of minerals, but they are not minerals, which that's some big brain stuff that I just don't understand.
Wait a minute. So the shells are made of minerals,
but they're not minerals.
That's like saying a house is made of bricks, but it's not a brick house.
Yeah. Like I said, big brain stuff there.
Well, there's got to be one geologist who listens to this podcast who can help us out here.
I guarantee you we have no... So based off that and based off what I'm reading here, this says a rock is a solid. Check.
Check.
Naturally occurring.
Check. Check.
Is made up of minerals or mineral-like matter. Check.
Check.
So despite it being made of minerals and not being a mineral, I would have to say that shells are rocks.
But they're like fraud rocks.
Maybe?
The fraud rocks, Ben. Because they're naturally occurring. They're made of minerals. But they're not rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really understand that one. That one does not.
Shells being a part of the rock family is like Pluto being a part of the planet family.
I think Pluto is a planet.
It's officially not a planet.
But I think it is. By my...
Oh, you think it's a planet.
Yeah, by my calculations, it's a planet.
Right. So according to like all the astrophysicists and science, all this
stuff. Yeah, they're just salty that they can't be a planet.
They're just mad at Pluto.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
No,
I think shells are frauds. That's my takeaway from this conversation.
Yeah,
because they check all the boxes of rock, but they're like water thin breakable rocks.
Yeah, I haven't done enough research here to.
This is the most Midwestern conversation ever. Like, why are shells even cool? Beaches aren't even fun.
Well, but this is said they're usually made up of calcium carbonate.
Calcium carbonate. Hmm. All right.
But we'll
You beach guy, Ben? You beach guy, Ben? You fan of the beach?
Oh, yeah. No, I hate the beach, dude.
I hate the beach, too. What? Why? Like, yeah. I feel like the beach, if you go to the beach for one day, you just end up with sand everywhere.
Yeah. I'll go to the beach one day. I'll do it. Like, we go to Florida. Cool, yeah, we can go to the beach.
Other
than that, find me on the golf course.
Yeah. Or, like, a pool or something. Like, because the pool is just water and cement. Like, that's it. I'm not getting cement on me.
That's true. Glad you know how pools work.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. All right, well, that's the show. We will be back next Monday. Blogs, anything to plug for this week?
There's podcasts by people, blogs by people.
Third Floor Report. Big guests
by people. You know, we got it all here at the Broken Anchor.
Third Floor Report, big guest on Tuesday.
Big guest.
But yeah, other than that, just the, you know, normal everyday week. So let's go with the best one of all time.
Hell yeah. And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to the people. All right, now let's go with the best Christmas week of all time.
Oh yeah.